So I listened to the song that we commissioned that we're going to play for Art Bell's tribute on Wednesday, and it is really cool. Rob Eisenberg from our staff did a great job with it. I wrote it, and some of the words may sound a little weird to you because I needed it to rhyme, but it's a great song, and it's a tribute to Art, so we're going to play it a couple times Wednesday, and then I'll make sure that Lex and Sean post it for free on the coasttocoastam.com website. And talking about free, you've got a free StreamLink weekend right now, so just go to the coasttocoastam.com website. There's a link there. It'll show you what to do and how to do it. And those of you who are not familiar with StreamLink, have some fun. StreamLink allows you to do podcasting, listening to the program, some downloads, programs. And we're working on two or three major innovative things for you as well. We made some StreamLink changes, but you are going to love what we've got in store. It's going to be interactive, and I think the technology's there to do some of the things I want to do with it. Back in a moment, another full hour of Friday the 13th, open lines. Upcoming trips, by the way, the Bay Area UFO Expo. I'll be going up there on a Saturday. I won't be doing the program there, but I'll be going to that conference. That will be the end of August or so. Then in September, going up to Tulsa to do two nights of programs and do a meet and greet up there with our affiliate KFAQ. And then also I'm going to Detroit to do a program again out of the OnStar Studios. It'll be my third year I do that. That'll be on September 21st. On October 20th, I'll be in Norfolk, Virginia, doing a program there. Then I've been invited to go to Arkansas, but I don't know if we're going to have time this year to do that. And that'll get us into November, then December, how fast the year goes by. So that's a little bit of the travel schedule for Coast to Coast. And we just came back from the program last week in Roswell, New Mexico. Hard to believe it was already a week ago Friday. Going way too fast. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hey, George. My name's Chad. I'm calling from Lynchburg.
Hey, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I heard y'all talking on a program, I guess maybe a day or two ago, about the lizard people and lizard men. And,
yeah, John Rhodes, yeah.
When I was a kid, I haven't always lived in Virginia. I lived in South Carolina until I was 15. I'm from the Charleston area. I don't know if you're familiar with the area around the weapons station or Charleston Naval Base.
Only with what I've read. Never been down there.
Oh, there's a lot of swamps around there, and all of them connect to the bigger river systems that run to the ocean. And when I was a kid, like a little bit before Hurricane Hugo, I think I was like 9, almost 10 years old, in the summer of 1989. I just remember because of the hurricane. There's a bunch of little islands out in the swamps, and, you know, me and my friends used to go around looking for places to ride BMX bikes, and, you know, we used to canoe around to these little islands. And I just remember because there's a neighborhood there now, but there wasn't much of a neighborhood then. They were just starting to put houses in.
Okay.
I went out in this little island, and it just rained a little bit, so there's nothing but pine trees. Like, got a real mixed vegetation type environment down there. That's the only way I could figure that this situation occurred. But I was, we were walking off the beaten path on one of these little islands, and we probably walked about a good, you know, maybe 100 or 200 yards from this little path. It was a pretty big little, you know, pretty big island out there in the middle. It had a little dirt peninsula that ran out to it.
Okay.
More people used to take it, four wheel drives and stuff. But I was walking, I kind of broke off from my friends. We were all just walking around looking at stuff, and, you know, just like kids do. And I'd walked up, and I was almost to the water's edge. I was probably about, you know, 20 feet. It's pretty flat there. And I thought I'd seen something past some trees, and, you know, kind of towards the vegetation on the water. So I was wondering what it was. You know, I thought it looked like kind of like an animal because it wasn't, you know, all that unusual to see alligators. And we were stupid back then. We used to throw, you know, sticks at them. But, I walked up on it and started saying, well, it's a little bit different color, more like a brownish color. It was more like a reddish-brownish color, almost like a clay. It was, I've seen lizards that were sort of that color, but it was, you know, it definitely wasn't like an alligator. Well, the closer I got up to it, I seen it was moving, you know, and it didn't hear me coming, I guess, because all the, you know, the ground was real wet and muddy and covered in pine needles. So the closer I creeped, I got up about 20 yards of it and realized that it was, you know, looked like a man. But it did, you know, it had some kind of gear on, like military type gear, but it was all, you know, more plasticky and at that time real futuristic looking. And as the closer I got up on it, I started realizing that it looked kind of like, kind of reminded me of the Predator from the movie Predator, but it had like a little tail. like maybe a 2 foot long tail.
Okay.
And then I could kind of get a profile shot from behind it, but like off to like, I guess the right. And I was looking at it, and it looked kind of like a T-Rex with his face pushed in.
How close did you get to it?
About 20 yards. I never told anybody this story before, and I swore I probably never would because I didn't want to get locked up. I'm from a pretty conservative country.
Did it look at you?
Well, before it took off, it did. I guess it got that feeling like somebody was watching it because it didn't hear me coming. I know that because it didn't hear me coming up before.
When it took off, how did it scatter away?
Well, it was right next to the water's edge, so it just skipped into the water, and that was it. That was all I seen of it.
But it looked like it was in costume.
It definitely didn't look like a costume. It looked like,
it was part of the body?
Yeah, it looked like the Predator, only like a reddish-brown color. I couldn't see if there was scales on it.
That's weird.
It was very, very weird, because I remember when I was a kid, they were talking about the Bishopville lizard man, and of course the description was different. But I guess if you're, the other guy was right the other night about them wearing costumes and such, then maybe he was just wearing a costume, or there were different ones. Because I've come up with a few theories on what I've heard on that. I believe that they're in cahoots with the government. I believe they're like alien scientists, and I believe they're testing us. And I believe that 5.5 billion or whatever people that are supposed to not be here from the Illuminati, I believe we've already been sold as the food stock to them. that's my theory.
Oh man, what a theory! I hope you're wrong.
They definitely look. They're not vegetarians. I could tell by looking at his face because he had nothing but teeth hanging out. I mean, that the bottom line is, I don't, you know, usually animals that are built like that with eyes on the front of their head and very sharp teeth aren't looking for strawberries and such.
A flat-faced Tyrannosaurus rex. You're lucky the thing didn't turn around and come back the other way. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Mary in Delaware.
Hey, Mary.
And I'm calling to tell you. Well, I listen to you all the time.
Thanks, Mary.
And for about the past 5 years. But anyway, I'm psychic, okay?
You are?
Yes.
Always have been, I guess.
I've never cultivated it. It's just something that I've always had, okay?
Okay.
And I was telling the girl that answers the phone, she's very nice, because I'm a little nervous.
Was she nicer than, hold on here. Do you think she was nicer than Tommy? Did you ever call in and talk to him?
No, this is the first time I've ever gotten through.
You even gotten through, huh? Okay, so.
Yeah.
I'll do a little.
But anyway, I wanted to tell you, you know how, like in today's world, everybody wants to hug you? You know what I'm saying?
Well, not everybody, not anymore. As a matter of fact, I find more people evil and upset and not friendly than ever before, honestly.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to touch people because I don't want them hugging me because I end up knowing more than what I should now.
Ah, so if somebody touches you or hugs you, you get a whole reading on them.
Oh, my God, yes. And it's not always a pleasant experience.
Is it? Do you get the past and the present and the future? Or what do you get?
I get mostly... Their attitude, like right now in this moment.
You get the moment, okay, and then you can figure out whether you even want to deal with these people or not.
Yeah, and a lot of people you don't. It's like they're high-handing you, but at the same time, they really don't either. Like if somebody doesn't like you, okay,
yeah,
spontaneous, they don't like you. A lot of times you get their problems. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I hear a little beep in the background, by the way. What is that?
What's that?
What's that?
Oh,
little...
I'm at work.
What do you do?
I'm a postal worker.
A postal worker?
Yes.
At this hour?
Oh, yeah. This is when the mail gets sorted. You get your mail in the daytime, right?
Yeah.
When do you figure they sort it?
I thought the machines did that.
Well, yeah, but what if you mail a box or... like that.
Oh, that's true. I mean, but what? Who picks out? How does a machine know how to read a zip code off an envelope?
Well, it is barcoded, just like your groceries.
Yeah, but who barcodes? I mean, not every envelope is barcoded.
We have a machine that reads the address and then barcodes it.
Is every letter barcoded when you send it to someone? And they get it?
We sure as heck try. look on the back of your envelope.
Okay, I got to do that.
Yeah, look at every envelope.
Well, you guys are still pretty reliable.
Yes, we are. I always get my bills.
Yeah, we always get the bills. How come those don't get lost? No.
I don't know. Well, sometimes the machine beat them.
Okay, well, this is your first call.
Yes.
You're gonna
so
make...
anyway, that was my whole point. A lot of people just, it's not, and then people think that I'm cold or unfeeling or like that. It's even like my hairdresser. I've been going to the same hairdresser for 30 years. Because I like this person. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? This reminds me of that Christopher Walken movie where he was a psychic, too, and he would touch people, and he'd know exactly what their future was.
Well, I don't know what their future is. I don't think I know what their future is. Maybe if I like, cultivated it or you know, concentrated on it, you know? And it, you're talking about ghosts. I have lots of ghost stories.
Okay, I can't take them now because I've got a lot of calls.
Yeah,
but
I just wanted to tell you, I've never met a mean ghost.
You've never met a mean ghost? Well, you probably will one day because they're out there. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Morning.
Hi, good morning to you, sir.
How you doing?
Good. Are you going to talk?
Yes, sir. Hi. I wanted to tell your girl, she's really professional, very courteous.
There's another one. Sounds like a campaign to get rid of Tommy, I think.
No.
Plot by Gina, no doubt.
A couple of things. In 1970, I was with a couple. We were flying in a small plane from Los Angeles to Las Vegas at night over the mountains.
Okay.
And a bright light rose up in altitude and came to our altitude and followed us a few hundred feet off our left wingtip for about 45 minutes to an hour.
Now, did this light seem to have structure to it?
It was at night, so it was hard to see. It was just a bright light a few hundred feet off the left wingtip. Because of being at night, we couldn't see anything else. But since it stayed with us, we radioed to... back to Los Angeles, radio to Las Vegas, and one other airport, and they claimed that there was no other activity in the area.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. None of the airports claimed any activity. I'm thinking it was a UFO. Unfortunately, it was at night.
Well, you knew it wasn't a plane.
No.
So you got to rule out that, and you know it wasn't a huge bird that was illuminated. Got to rule that out.
It wasn't a helicopter, and it just stayed off our left wingtip with us.
That is something. It kept pace with you all the way,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, for about an hour.
Yeah, no, it's there. It's there. I wish you would have been on the Larry King show talking to Michael Shermer, because I like Michael. He's, you know, it's good to kind of have someone who's a skeptic, but... Man, it got into a match today between him and Stanton and stuff. There was so much shouting, you know, there was no information being given. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
Well, hi, George. It's truly an honor, sir.
Thank you.
To be speaking with you. You're a legend.
No, not yet.
Oh, yeah, you already are, and you don't take a back seat to anyone. In fact, you're... probably more in the driver's seat than you think. So hit the gas, bud.
I'm on my way.
And get going. Good. Look, the young lady that called in the last hour to recommend the book by Francis McNutt.
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know that the McNutts are known worldwide. Francis, he was a psychiatrist in the Catholic Church. I think it is the Dominican Order that he was, but he's a Harvard medical grad. And he left the church he left the Catholic Church to marry his wife that he's married to now. She too is a PhD in psychology, and together they have a pastoral counseling practice in Florida when they're not around the world speaking. So I don't know whether you should do the Ouija board or not. Good Lord, it's been so long since I had my hands on one. I don't even remember. I never trusted anyone on the other side anyway. Yeah, I mean, not on the on the other side of the planchette, you know.
I tell you, I'm starting to get concerned about people who would be listening now. I'm not worried about me or the people in the room.
Right.
But now people are beginning to say to me, you know, I should be concerned more about people on the outside.
Well, you know, you go with what your conscience tells you. It would be my advice to you.
Yeah.
You know, if that's a concern, then, you know, examine it for what it is and make your decisions from there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that.
Nobody's saying nobody's going to hold you at fault if you decide against this. And, you know.
You don't think they'll call me a little.
If you decide for it. So.
Not say you wimped out on us or anything like that? If I back
you run that risk, but if they say that, then they don't understand the Ouija board. I don't mess with it. I think it's a portal of some kind. But I haven't played with one since I was a kid, and that was when my brother and I raised something on the board that said it was a dead baby, and I think we
didn't
touch the board anymore.
I've never heard of that one.
Oh, we asked who we were talking to, and spelled out a dead baby.
Dead baby. Jeez.
Yeah, so we packed it up and put it in the closet.
Yeah. Well, he said dead baby, you know, it was probably a pretty good soul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Born, you know, just an innocent soul.
Yep.
So now we didn't suffer any repercussions of that either, you know. We didn't feel like anything.
Well, I got a week and a half now to think about this.
Well, you know, you examine your own conscience about it, and I think you'll find more people supported than you think,
okay,
either way you decide to go.
All right, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you, George. God bless.
Okay, I want to tell you a little bit about what's in store for the week, by the way, before we go back to more calls, and then the rest of the story. As they say, Monday, exorcisms and investigations with the paranormal. You're going to love this show. Archbishop James Long joins us. Then a fellow by the name of Craig Hines, he's written a book called Gateway of the Gods, and he's going to talk about stargates and how EVPs support ancient texts. Now, this is an unusual program, so I'm looking forward to talking with Craig Hines about that. Then on Wednesday, it's our tribute to Art Bell. We're going to play some memorable on-air moments. A number of guests, we're going to play that song that we've commissioned, and also we're going to take your calls throughout the evening, and it's just a little gift to Art. And you know, I'm sure he probably doesn't want this done, but I'm going to go ahead and do this because it's also good for you, I think, important for you. Thursday's guest, right now it's one of those floating format nights. So we're going to keep that open for a while to see what happens worldwide. And then Friday, back with open lines again right here on Coast to Coast. And as we're getting very close to the anniversary date of, again, another moon landing that occurred, let's see, 1969, 38 years ago. Right, Karis? 38 years ago. Yeah, 1969. No. 38 years ago, coming up next week. That's unbelievable. Okay, stay with me. I'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with the rest of Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm going to give you the date now that I'm going to retire. It'll be 2016. I'm giving it to you now so you can circle it on your calendar. And then at that point, I am going to go to 3 days a week. That's my plan. That's what I'm going to do. So at 2016, that's 9 years away. That's a long time. A long time. Let's go back to some calls. Let's go to our wildcard line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, my name is Marcy. I'm calling from Troy, New York.
Yeah.
And I have a question.
All right.
With the proof that you have had, with your personal experience with the Ouija board, that it's not a toy, why are you trying to prove that it is a toy?
Well, let me tell you what happened years ago. My only major experience with a Ouija board was back in St. Louis, where I had this Ouija board in the studio, and all these bizarre things happened. In the first chapter of my book, Worker in the Light, I wrote that the Ouija board screwed up everything. I am now in a position to believe that it was not the Ouija board. It was my producer, Howard, God love him, who had the biggest cloud over his head of any guy I've ever known. I think this guy had evil following him wherever he went. As a matter of fact, he called me up today to wish me luck on the Larry King show, and I could still feel the clouds over his head. I mean, it's really bizarre. It's based on that that I am going to go ahead and with my theory that it is not the board, it's the individual.
But with all the all the warnings and all the stories that you heard from other people?
Well, with every warning I've gotten, I've also gotten proactive. Go ahead with the experiment. Nothing's going to happen to you, phone calls and emails. So that's been running about 50-50. I will tell you that there was a poll taken on the NighthawkZone.com website that they overwhelmingly wanted me to go ahead with this. But in terms of experts, it's about 50-50. Those who say don't do it and those who say do it. Now, I will tell you, some people who have said don't do it have come in anonymously through various websites, but it's about 50-50 with the experts. Now, you may say that's not good enough odds for you.
Well, I mean, it all depends. Personally, I probably wouldn't, but are you going to have somebody there to...
Oh, yeah, three experts. Two who say go ahead with it, one who will be with me who says don't do it, and then me. So four people.
Wow.
July 25th.
I'm gonna mark that.
Okay, dear. Thanks.
Yep.
And I appreciate your concern. I do. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, this is Wyatt.
Hello, Wyatt. Your last name's not Earp, is it?
No, it's not Earp. Scanson.
No, you don't have to tell me that, but that's okay.
Anyway, I'm calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, yeah, sure. Been there.
And my roommate a while back opened up a portal, and I'm going to call it a portal only because that's the only thing I can think of right now. It's sort of like the white noise effect. When he's playing his CDs, a five-disc changer, you have to use your imagination a little bit because a lot of people don't know what they are. And when a CD changes, actual CDs, not songs, but the CD itself, the motor will slow down to do this. And then he will hear a voice. Now, this will go on for several days before he gets a complete sentence. But then,
did anybody else hear it, or just him?
Nobody else has heard it. I felt presences, you know, in the house, especially in the living room where the player is. And he would tell him, he'd be on with his headphones and everything, and then I'd see him write stuff down, and then he would, all these scraps of paper over the months, I started collecting and loading into my computer, which was probably not the smartest thing I ever did, but I would come home from work, and he'd be doing this, and then he'd take his headphones off, and he'd turn to me and say, they don't like you.
They don't like you.
Right. And he would describe the different characters, and I would pick up a piece of scrap paper and read off, well, who was this that said this? And, oh, that was that woman that doesn't like you. And I said, well, why doesn't she like you? He said, because you make noise.
What kind of noise?
Well, I come home and I turn things on.
Oh, you're thumping around all over the place.
Well, not necessarily bumping around. I'll cause things for another motor to run, like the refrigerator motor.
Okay, and she doesn't like that.
She doesn't like that. She doesn't like any fan motor. And there's a few others in there, too.
Well, tell her tough luck.
Well, I basically did. I spoke up for my own behalf because I'm a spiritualist, too, and I'm not afraid of this stuff.
Right. Yeah, you're like I am. You know, bring it on. That's the way I'm from.
Well, actually, they did a couple times. One time I was dozing off to sleep, and you know that sleep state that you get into. I can see things where he can only hear things. And during that sleep state, they all came to me. You know how a person gets in your face sometimes?
Yeah.
Angry with you?
Oh, yeah. I hate that feeling.
Oh, yeah. That's what they were doing. And she was probably the ugliest one. greasy, dirty.
Go figure, right?
Ghetto. And I can only see, like, their faces, you know, like in the white noise thing, that movie. I know you saw it.
Oh, yeah.
And
Michael Keaton.
Except this was in my face. And then I shrugged it off, and I basically, it's when they followed me up to my bedroom and started doing that with me. While I was trying to sleep one night, I started getting a little bit rough with them, and I used the white light and the Lord's Prayer and everything, and I sent a few of them into the light, I think.
Did you get rid of them?
Not all of them. Some of the nicer ones stayed around. There was this little boy, and I have part of this documented on video.
What was he doing with the group?
He was lost.
He must have been.
He was attracted. It was around Christmas time, and he was attracted to the Christmas tree lights and all the candles.
Yeah.
And his fascination with the Christmas tree got to the point where he could manipulate the lights.
Well, who would blame him? Hey, thanks. Let me take a few more calls, and then we've got to take a break and come back with the rest of the open line calls. We'll go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. First of all, I saw you on Larry King. I think you had a very commanding presence on the show. Unfortunately, there was like 20 guys there all trying to talk at the same time.
Did you see that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just waited my turn.
Yeah, and you were very cordial about it, but very commanding presence, even more commanding than Buzz Aldrin, who, by the way, I found it very odd how he changed his subject when they asked him about the UFOs he saw when, in his test pilot days or whatever.
Instantly, yeah.
Instantly, not a yes, like he was trained to do that. But that's not what I called you about. Hey, George, I'm trying to get some information on the possibility of the human race being actually the fallen angels. And that we're given another chance to kind of make it all up for something.
Or the offspring of, maybe?
I don't know about the offspring. There's something that there's a reoccurring theme of one-third, even biblically, where one-third is pardoned, one-third is pure, one-third is damned. And I think maybe there's one-third that is perhaps pardoned, but having to get another chance to do it again. And I think that's maybe where we fall in.
Tuesday, Craig Hines, our guest. We got to ask him that question.
Oh, that would be so awesome. Because, like I said, I think there's a one-third that remain pure, and those, of course, are the ones that are probably in heaven. The one-third that are totally damned, those would be, you know, your fallen ones, your demons. And, of course, maybe we're the ones that are right in the middle. And of course, we all know the world is older than 6,000 years.
Oh, I think so, too. Okay, definitely listen in. We're going to take this break, but listen in Tuesday. And when it's time to open up the lines, try to get in with me if I haven't asked him that question by that point. But I'll try. God, I can't wait to play that. So, you know what? I was tempted to go to my office to get the theme song we had commissioned for Art's Wednesday Night Tribute Show and play it. Because I like it so much, but I'm not going to. You're going to have to wait until Wednesday. But it really is cool. I mean, that's something where it might go to number one of the charts at every radio station, every 500 radio stations that play Coast to Coast. That would hit Billboard, wouldn't it, Karis? 500 stations all play it? That would be number one. But it's not for sale. It's free. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, Carol, listening to WMAL.
Hey, in Washington, D.C. Hi, Carol.
Right. Jerome Corsi was right to contradict the caller who doubted that your listeners are activists.
Yes.
Here's how I've been wrapping up my 3x3 plan to insist the public be told the implications.
Good for you.
Of the American, quote, union, unquote, and the May 9 presidential directive. The first of the three, since we're always complaining the mainstream media won't pick us up, we have... at our fingertips, major media. They're called email, phone calls, and letters.
Yep.
And the second three are the levels of an organization I can reach. I can use some of these three to contact the owner of a newspaper, the editor of National News, and a particular reporter. I can contact the senator's assistant in D.C., an assistant in the senator's home state office.
Carol, you're pretty proactive out there, aren't you?
Yeah, well, here's what happened yesterday. I tried to call NBC's comment line in New York, and the mailbox was full.
Okay.
I called my local NBC station, got a human being. Now, this is at 2 in the morning, right?
You got a human being at 2 in the morning?
Uh-huh. And I told him about New York. He says, who did you want to talk to? I said, Tim Russert. He put me through to a voicemail, and there's a recording of Tim Russert inviting me to leave a comment.
Well, well, let's hope you got his line. What you probably got, though, was the comment line there, too.
Well, yeah. But
I hope somebody's going to listen to it.
There are channels open, and instead of, we can sit back and cherish the fellowship of being Coast to Coast listeners. We can savor our secret knowledge of these ominous possibilities, or we can insist on sharing this knowledge with the daytime people who are content to hear about
it. You should also let Lou Dobbs know about it at CNN.
If you like, I can send you my list of links that help me track the addresses.
All right, Carol, let me take some more calls, but definitely email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. Good work. Keep it up. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. Hi there.
Hi. Hey, we had a really weird occurrence here. I work nights at a Safeway out in California.
Okay.
You guys were playing, I think it had something to do with the end of the world, everything. One of those nights when you guys started playing the R.E.M. song, It's the End of the World.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time on our radio that we have in the store.
That you pipe throughout the store?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Safeway radio, like, thing started to play that song at the same exact time.
Ah, synchronicity.
Yeah, it was weird. It freaked both of us out that were here. We were just like, oh my God, this you know, this sort of thing is not supposed to happen.
That is a little freaky.
Yeah, so, you know, possible omen that something big may be coming, you know, within the near future. So you never know. People need to look for these things.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. Thanks. First time caller line, your turn. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Louisiana, but okay. What happened to me in Michigan. I don't know if you're familiar with Hale and Glennie up in that area.
I've never been up there, but I was born in Michigan.
Okay. In the summer of 69, I had a girlfriend. We broke up, and I went to her house one day to go and see her, and her mother told me that she was up at a girls' camp in Hale. Well, I grew up on that lake, Loon Lake. We had a cottage there, my family, so I knew how to get there, so I hitchhiked up. And I got in the hill, and I knew a shortcut through the woods to get to the girls' camp. And I was in the woods. It was completely black. I couldn't see. I was just feeling my way through the woods.
Oh, man.
I knew vaguely the way to get there.
Yeah.
I heard crunching ahead of me. And I put my arm out, and I felt a very hairy belly. And I'm 6'4". I'm 6'4". And I reached out the field. I could feel a navel.
And was there any grunting or anything going on here?
No smell, no nothing. I stepped to the right, he stepped to the right, and we continued on our And the hair just stood up on the back
my
of my neck.
My God, he could have been a bear too, right?
I don't think so, because he was just walking, and he was on two legs.
Oh.
Continued on our way.
A Sasquatch. You rubbed the belly of a Sasquatch.
I think so. I've never told anyone this story.
I love it. Another one of our classics. He rubs the belly of a Bigfoot. A perv Bigfoot running around the woods. Let's go to our wild card line. Go ahead. Hi.
Good morning, George.
Yes, sir.
Friday, September 13th, 2002, at the business that I was running on the side of an interstate, we came to work in the morning. There was a fatal car crash out front.
Oh, no.
Agreed. They had already taken the young man away who was killed, but we were watching the investigation. One of the state troopers came over to one of my employees and said, "Would you please put that video camera down?" He had brought a camera to show me some things he'd filmed.
Sure.
And he kind of had a startled look on his face like he didn't realize he was even filming, nor did any of us notice he was. 2 months later, that same employee was the only one in the office at night. It was dark. He had a great attention to detail in everything he did, but he heard a knock on the door, glass front of the store, looked out, and there was a face looking at him. His wife also worked there. The next morning she came in, told me about it, that he came home just ghostly pale himself. And when he came in that morning, I asked him about it, and he couldn't give me any details other than the face. After he went about his way, she and I talked. I got a copy of the obituary of the young man from the accident. It came in the mail 2 days later. I showed my employee. I said, "Take a look at this picture again." All the color went from his face, and he said, "That's the face that was looking at me that the other night."
Oh, gosh. I believe this stuff.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. See the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
Ah, for Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbeth, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.